Tarja Harigas Thakur, Ki, Kanti, Dahoshi, Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nitananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhar, Shivasa, Gaura, Bhaktivinoda, Shri Shri Radha, Krishna, Gopinath, Samukunda, Varagunda, Giri, Govardhan, Ki, Srimatra, Govardhan, Ki, Mati, Mati, Ki, Guru, Amrita, Dham, Shivasa Devi, Ki, Bhakti Devi, Ki, Ganga, Maija, Maija, Shri, All Glories to Asambhu, Ki, All Glories to Asambhu, Ki, All Glories to Guru, Indaranga, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 11, Canon Chapter 6, Verse 12, 11. Hare Krishna. What is it? 11? 12? Yeah. That is it. Oh, yeah. Payushtaya Savavi Bhuvana Malayayam.
Payushtaya Savavi Bhuvana Malayayam.
Sansparshini Bhagavati Pati Patni Vatsri. Yasu Panitam Amuyahan Ahanam Adadano. Bhuyad Sadangi Rasu Bhashayas Duma Ketu. Paryushtaya Tavavibo Vanamalaya. Sanspaldini Bhagavati Patipati Vatsi. Yasu panita namu yahana madadano. Uyat dangir asubhasaya duma ketu. Bolo.
Thank you.
Vayushtaya.
Vayushtaya.
Worn out. Jabba.
York.
Vibho. Almighty Lord. Banamalaya. By the flower garland. Iyam.
She.
Sanspardini.
Sanspardini.
Feeling competitive. Bhagavati. The female counterpart of the personality of God. Bhaktipat Nibat.
Just like an envious co-wife.
She. Lakshmi Devi. The goddess of fortune. Yeah. Which Supreme Lord yourself. Supranita. So that it may be properly executed. Amuya. By this. Ahana. The offering of the Adandam. Accepting. Na. Our. Bhuya. May they be. Sada. Always. Angri. The lotus be Ashubha Ashaya of our impure desires. Do not take to the fire of destruction. Anybody feel doomed by the Duma Ketu? It's used that the other day, and that word was a comet. So they must know about these comets. You're going to whack somebody sometime. Translation. Oh, Almighty Lord, you are so kind to your servants that you have accepted the withered flower garland that we have placed on your chest. Since the goddess of fortune makes her abode in your transcendental chest, she will undoubtedly become agitated like a jealous co-wife upon seeing our offering also dwelling there. Yet you are so merciful that you neglect your eternal consort Lakshmi and accept our offering as most excellent worship. Oh, merciful Lord, may your lotus feet always act as a blazing fire to consume the inauspicious desires within our hearts. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:26, it is stated, Bhaktam purpam param toyam yame bhakta parachati tadaham bhakti uparitam asnami paratatmana. Lord Krishna gratefully and happily accepts even the most meager offering from his loving devotee. Lord Krishna is conquered by the love of his pure devotees just as a father is easily conquered by the most insignificant gift offered by his loving child. Unless a transcendentalist completely gives up the impersonal conception of life, he cannot make such a loving offering to the Lord. The process of meditation upon the super soul within the heart called Dhyan Yoga is not as pleasing to Krishna as Bhakti Yoga or devotional service, because in Dhyan and meditation, the yogi is trying to satisfy the Lord and satisfy himself and not the Lord by attaining mystic powers. Similarly, in order to acquire material benefits from the Lord, ordinary people worship God in temples, church, and mosques. But one who desires actual spiritual perfection must be enlightened to always chant and hear the glories of the Lord. Such devotional enthusiasm is motivated by love of God and is devoid of any selfish expectation. The Lord is so kind he neglects his own eternal consort Lakshmi and gives preference to his humble devotee, such as just as a man will neglect the loving embrace of his wife when the affectionate child approaches him with a gift. Srila Jiva Goswami has pointed out that any garland worn by the Lord cannot be faded, because all the Lord's personal paraphernalia is completely transcendental and spiritually opulent. Similarly, there is no possibility that mundane jealousy could appear in the character of the goddess of fortune, who is as transcendental as Lord Krishna himself. Therefore, these statements of the demigods are to be understood as humorous words inspired by intense love of Godhead. The demigods enjoy the protection of Lakshmi and ultimately of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, and due to their confidence in their loving relation with the Lord and his consort, they feel free to speak in a joking way. Lord 부강거로 두박자간 광고랑 에테그니 무지바사마한 번대시도입니다. 어루스타야 떠르게 보그나마라예영 삼파르디니 바가바티 파티파니바스티 야수파니타마마야하남 아드단노 무야수단구 아수바사야구마테크. We're so kind to your servants that you have accepted the withered flower garland that we have placed on your chest. Since the goddess of fortune makes her abode in your sentinel chest, she won't die to become agitated like a jealous co-wife, upon seeing her offering also growing in it. Yet you're so merciful you neglect your eternal consort, Lakshmi, and accept her offering as most excellent worship. Merciful Lord, may your lotus feet always act as a blazing fire to consume the inauspicious desires in our hearts. You know, there's something, sometimes things like this occur in the Bhagavatam where I believe this Prithu Maharaj is offering a prayer. Is it Prithu? About that. He's saying that he wants to do such service, such enthusiastic service that perhaps the goddess of fortune will become envious and like that. But that's also probably explains not possible that that would ever happen. So when one becomes intimate with Krishna, he can joke. Apparently these devas are in a position to joke with the Lord. Find the devas, but today is the Vasalila day celebration that happened. And it's mentioned there how the devas, the wives of the demigods, they're kind of flying over in there. Airplanes, flower airplanes. And, rather there's not much question of envy in that they're so ecstatic that their hair starts to loosen and their clothes loosen, their garlands fall off like that. And they're struck by Cupid. Asanir Ninam, that verse is there about the, how the women view Krishna when he comes into the wrestling arena. As the Cupid, so this is how, when, sometimes the gopis in the prayer also in the 10th canto back, I didn't bother to get the book out because I'm too lazy, but as far as I can remember, the gopis are saying that their husbands are envious, that they're so in love with Krishna, whereas the deer, they're actually, transcendentally envious of the deer. If the deer, the male deer, don't mind, they're very attractive to Krishna. So this kind of idea of envy, Radharani feels non, or this technical terms mentioned in Ujjvala Nilamani, she's feeling very kind of envious that Krishna's going. The whole reason of, supposedly, of back, one of the backstories of Radharani appearing, Krishna appearing, is that she was envious of that gopi. What was that gopi's name? The Raja, this big story given in Brahma Vivata Purana and other Puranas, especially there. But this envy is not the kind of envy we have in the material world. Samsareshu naragamam ichyadresha sanutena hridrogam manasuhapano charena dhira. It was at the final end of the story of the recounting of Rasa Dhila. The famous verse is given Vikritam Raja Vidu Viridam to Vishnu. Shadhan Vato Nashunya Tavan Radya. Bhaktin Paran Bhagavati Pati Labhya Ma? Bhakti Labhya Ma. Asya Pano Acharena Dira. With Rogam Asu actually, very quickly, the heart becomes pure by reading, hearing, and having Shadhan Vato, being endowed with great enthusiasm and faith. Prabhupada many times mentioned, though, especially I was remembering in Mayapur in 75, there were some Manipuri dancers brought. The Bhagavad Muni arranged these Javeri dancers. They were the most popular, famous
There are many, now we found out there's many, many, all over Manipur, everyone is expert at this, but they are famous. They perfected the art of, but these Manipuri dancers, this particular style, you know, they wear a big hoop around. You can't even see them practically. Their skirt is out like this. It's somehow or other, you wouldn't be able to see their bodily features even. But the deities are there, Prabhupada is sitting, and actually Prabhupada moved up into the temple room closer so he could, like, halfway through and see it. So there were some of us behind. So at the time, the sannyasis were very embarrassed that all these ladies are dancing. They didn't know that Prabhupada was going to bring ladies into dance. So they were trying to be very strict. And the sannyasi Prabhupada said, should be very strict. He shouldn't actually watch. Later on, he gave a talk. How sannyasi and brahmachari, others may see, that's okay, he said. Because especially these ladies from Manipur, they're very pure-hearted. And for householders and young people and, of course, ladies, they can watch. He said, but the sannyasi should be strict. But they didn't know, probably the talk after. Of course, they knew the general idea that one should be strict. So they were quite embarrassed, like, should we be watching these, there were only two or three sannyasis, I remember, Vishnu John, Panchadavida, maybe one other, but I remember looking at them and thinking, what are they thinking, you know, because they're sitting right in front of Prabhupada, you couldn't avoid seeing them. And you couldn't avoid seeing their expression and they kind of like, they didn't know what to think. Should we watch this or not? It was kind of funny. Something you won't forget for a long time. So they were kind of looking, they weren't looking. Prabhupada could look, it weren't that bothering. Like running on the road. He could dress the Devi Dasis, in the Devi Dasis have trained from small girls how to dance with Jagannath. And everything had to be taught to them. And Ramananda Roy was only one qualified. When Pradyumna Mishra went to see Ramananda Roy, he asked the servant of Ramananda Roy, because he was waiting. So the servant told him, oh, Ramananda Roy, he's dressing the Devi Dasis. And he's bathing there, and the oil and everything, and Pradyumna Mishra was flabbergasted. But these Devi guys, I think they dance in private, I'm not sure. No one sees it except for Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. So, nowadays they may not have this tradition anymore. But, so he was flabbergasted, and he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya had sent him there. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, so you heard the Krishna Katha from Ramananda? He said, I didn't hear, I'm going back. He was too busy, but his servant told me he's dressing these girls. I mean, they're not even wearing clothes. He's training them. He said, how is that? You know, he's like, mind was blown, basically. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, within this material world, only Ramananda is has the adhikar for this, for doing, for this training job. He said, because his body is fully spiritualized. So we're aspiring to get our bodies fully spiritualized. Meanwhile, Prabhupada said, if you consider your conditioned soul, then better not to watch Vasalila. But, of course, devotees were particularly interested in that. In 1976, I think it was 76, Prabhupada came through L.A., and he was told that there were devotees who were studying this Rasa Lila and how to become gopis and had a special group meeting. And so Prabhupada called them in and chastised them all. It became known as the Gopi Bala Club. I think it was really the Gopi Bala Club. So, and they also quoted the verse, repeated on the one who just, by hearing this, the Kriya Vajavadudra, of the Vajavadudra, the wives, the women of Vraj and their Rasalila dance with Krishna, that with rogam, rogam means the disease of the heart, will be finished very soon. With rogam asva hapano acharena dira, and one will become dira. Or one can see it that he has to first become dira, and then, so he said otherwise, They were saying, well, we know that when one becomes purified. Prabhupada said, yes, but you're becoming putrefied. So one has to be very careful. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he used to set the example that even in Radha-kund, he would give lecture on Vedanta Sutra and Upanishad, like that. So he was criticized, but he didn't mind. Of course, he didn't mind, because if you want to criticize Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he'll criticize you really bad. You'll be sorry. your status would be diminished. So he would say, oh, they're now, I say they're living in Narakun, they're not living in Mahakun. One time he was invited by a friend of his, a doctor, to come to his house. And the doctor had a big house. He went up into the place and they were doing the Vasudeva, so he just walked out, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And the doctor ran out, what are you doing? Maharaj, what are you doing? He said, no, I'm not qualified for watching this Vasudeva. So back to Mayapur, probably watching the Manipuri dancers. You've seen pictures where they wear these big hoops. It's like a barrel or something. So we were wondering, probably watching this. But what happened was interesting, because they performed, there was a break in between intermission. So intermission time, Prabhupada got up and left. And the sannyasis, they said, oh, okay, now we can go. They left with Prabhupada. So then the next day, or the same day, there was another play. And then Prabhupada, it was only men or something. Oh, he expressed that actually even when he was a child, all the plays were only done by men. No one would even act. This is a new invention from like the 1800s, late 1800s they started this. But previously, only men would act. Just like Kalapani came out, no one could tell if he's what he still nobody knows. I'd probably do it. But he came out acting like that, that lady or whatever. So Prabhupada said, and he gave a story that Govinda, when he was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hearing this beautiful singing from this Gujari song, and a woman was singing very expert and, you know, amazing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running, and he's running through some thorns even, just to get to the temple quickly to hear this singing. And Govinda called him. He said, no, Lord, don't go. There's a woman singing there. A woman is singing. Oh, you saved me. You must always stay by me. You saved my life. So Prabhupada told a story like that. Because the sannyasis, the brahmacharis, even there was some question posed before Prabhupada about giving class. Said, yes, the ladies can give class. And the brahmacharis and sannyasis, they're not required to hear. So many times Prabhupada talked about that. So this Rasa dance is very wonderful. And one devotee requested me very enthusiastically that we should look at one, how Kavi Kanapur has, because we miss out a lot of the verses. We don't have Sanskrit. And even if we, well, if we have it, sometimes we can relish it because we know some of them. But you know, this boy, when he was seven, this boy, he's not a boy anymore, but Shavasol Kavalaro, he composed one shloka that Kavi Kanapur, in case some people don't know, was a super genius poet, and just like in Rupa Goswami, so on the level, high, very high level. He was a son of Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen had three sons, so when his wife, Shivananda Sen's wife, was pregnant with the third son, youngest, then Mahaprabhu gave him a name. He said, you call him Puri. And then he became Paramananda Puri, up to the time he was seven. But when he was seven, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated him into chanting Hare Krishna. And then one day he came to Lord Chaitanya's place with his father, and Sri Brahmana was there, and many persons, other persons. So he asked the boy to chant Hare Krishna, this little Puri, 7-year-old boy, but he wouldn't chant. So Mahaprabhu asked him again, you won't chant Hare Krishna? He was just very shy like that. So then he asked Sri Brahmana, what is this boy? I got even got the animals in the jungle. I got the animals in the jungle dancing, elephants, tigers, but this boy's not chanting. How is that? He said, as far as I can guess, he's chanting in his mind. So even these great personalities, they guess certain things. So in the intro, that verse was given here. But all of a sudden, another day, they asked him again, and he came out with a shloka describing the glories of Krishna. It's in the, mentioned here in the intro for those who want to refresh their transcendental memory. This book, which I don't usually read that much, there's so many books to read. So this is the verse. Here it says, another day when Chaitanya said to the boy, recite, my dear Puri Das. He composed the following verse and expressed it through forever. Apparently he could do this anytime he wanted, even though he was seven, so don't try this at home. Or try it at home and see what happens. Shadaso Kulayamakshna Ranjanam Uroso Mahendra Maniman Mahendra Mani Dhamma Vrindavana Ramaniyam Mandanam Nakiyani Harijayati. Sri Krishna is the blue lotus flower on the ears of the gopis, the ornament for their eyes, the blue sapphire on their breasts, and all the other ornaments. May that Sri Hari always be glorified. That's Anchalila. Anybody wants to find out, get the word for word, because it's one of the shlokas in there. Although the boy was only 7 years old and still had no education, he composed such a nice verse. Anybody here seven? Anybody here can compose such a verse? Okay. The devotees became astonished, even though Chaitanya became astonished. Hearing this beautiful Sanskrit verse glorifying Krishna from such a small boy, they concluded that by sucking Mahaprabhu's toe, because one day Lord Chaitanya had put his toe in his mouth, when he was younger, not seven, I think he was a little baby, he had received some special potency because miracles easily manifest by the mercy of the Lord. In response to the great poet, in response to the boy's recitation, Lord Chaitanya said, my dear child, like a great poet, Kavi, you have so nicely described the ornament on the ear of the Vajagopis. So from today, you'll be known as Kavi Karnapur. Such great persons are there in Lord Chaitanya's leaders. Okay, so this one chapter here called the Rasa Dance. So somebody senior in age to me requested that we may read a little of this. Just read a couple pages, see what happens. The burning pain in the hearts of those fortunate gopis who were the very life of Krishna had now been extinguished. Well, this is the last, before this, basically, we heard about Napareham, Nirvaja Sangyajam, that Krishna said, please excuse my faults, I can't pay you back, and, I'm not able to repay the debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma, therefore please let your own glorious deeds be a remuneration. So the burning hearts in those fortunate gopis who were the very life of Krishna had now been extinguished. Taking to heart the gentle nectarian words flowing from the full moon of Krishna's mouth, the gopis went almost mad as they caressed him with their trembling arms. They desired to enjoy the lover who displayed irresistible attraction. With his incredible gorgeous form looking more beautiful than 100,000 cupids, Krishna served the gopis a continuous feast for their eyes. Then the enchanter of the whole creation began his pastime of the rasa dance in order to fill the gopis' hearts with endless bliss. Krishna wanted the gopis to perform the joyful Hari Shaka dance to display their talents and individual mellows. Bart Mooney, their father in mundane dramatics, describes it as a circular dance that girls perform while holding their hands on each other's shoulders. Deciding to enjoy this dance, Krishna spoke to the gopi lovers, who resembled the best jeweled flags. Oh, beloved gopis, I derive great happiness from all you. Please hear my words of faith. See this auspicious expanse of naturally brilliant beach made by Jamuna River. Her heart bursting with pleasure, this well-plowed field, devoid of pebbles and shining like camphor. Although there are many of you, see if you can make a circle there. Hearing this, the gopis replied, if we stand in a circle, we will be far away from you. Our hearts are all trembling at the thought. Being so far away from you, we will not be enthusiastic, nor can we endure the sorrow. Krishna said, just see the potency of my instructions. Though I will stand in the center with Radhika, I will also remain beside each of you, rapidly twirling around in a playful mood. Their doubts dispelled, the gopis became anxious to see the fun. In great happiness, they joined hands and formed a circle around their beloved Krishna. Their bodies seemed to merge into one form that spread out over the beach, like circular waves expanding in an ocean of moonlight. That circle of all attractive ladies looked like a golden net spread over the waters of eager love for catching the fish-like mind of Krishna with a bait of ripe chumbi fruits. Guess what those are? The Rasa circle resembled a fortress of moonlight topped by the black flags of their swaying black braids and decorated with golden pots shimmering in the reflection of their full moon faces. The Rasa circle looked like a huge earring decorating the ear of the goddess of the earth, a golden bracelet of Manasotara Lake surrounding Sumeru, which is Krishna, or like a giant bangle around the full moon of Krishna. It looked like the potter's wheel rotating from the touch of a potting expert in Cupid sports. It appeared like a circular grove of interlocked golden desire creepers decorated with dewdrops of perspiration springing up instantaneously without any seed on the camphor dust beach beside the Jamuna. This is just English. So Kavi Kanapur didn't give up after 7, obviously. As literature is decorated with essays called Sarva Tobhadra, all forms of auspiciousness and happiness ornamented the dance. Like skilled poetry that can be read forward and backward. We know that Rupa Goswami has poems, this Chitra Kavita poem book, and you can read them like a crossword puzzle, and this way, that way, up, down, left, right. And he has some that are shaped like madangas and chakras. And one book like that. From the Stavamala, you can see, actually, he's probably referring to that, because not that, I don't know how many people can do poems like that, but not that many. It can be read forward and backward. The Rasa dance sometimes went one way and other times the opposite way. As poetry is marked by equal flowing syllables, the dance progressed with balanced steps and no stumbling. As poetry is written in both local and Sanskrit language, various statements and counterstatements punctuated the dance. As poetry is ornamented with puns which compress two meanings into one sound, that's one of the meanings of the champu, actually. We only have two famous champus, the Gopal Champu by Jiva Goswami and Ananda Mandana. There's maybe others, but those are the two main ones that we read. But this is the, you have to be so expert a poet that, like Jiva Goswami or Kavi Kanapur, that the Sanskrit poetic expressions sometimes have three or more meanings. Even you find that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, other slokas written by the great devotees. And Jiva Goswami, we would never know, but then we get someone like Jiva Goswami who explains, well, this means this. If it's for Krishna, it means that. If it's for Radharani, it means this. If it's for Nanda Goswami, then it means this. Same exact words. And so this is what a champu means, the Ananda Vrindavan champu itself. As poetry is adorned in alliteration, similarly during the Rasa dance, the gopis wore suitable clothing to accentuate the various movements of their hands and feet. As poetry is ornamented with repetition, so in the dance one Krishna appeared as many. As poetry has been both flowing and syncopated meters, similarly the dance sometimes proceeded steadily and sometimes in a halting motion. As the eye has a black spot in the center, the circle of dancers had Krishna in the center. Seems like Kavi Kanpur is not at a loss for words usually. Syncopated and things go on at the same time. Right? Two things are going on.
Coordinated,
syncopated. But it's a musical term, right? You study music. It's mostly refers to rhythm, right? Or
two things happen on the same beat.
Two things happen at the same beat.
Yeah.
The piano players are doing that. They're the expert. One hand's playing this, another playing. Yeah, it's like the rhythm. Without anyone's notice, Yogamaya dressed the gopis in beautiful clothing and ornaments perfectly suited for the rasa dance. Without anyone's notice. Without knowing why, Krishna felt overwhelmingly attracted to the gopis. Just see how expert Yogamaya is at satisfying Krishna's heart. Krishna didn't even know how this was going on. At the beginning of the dance, the daughter of Vrishabhani displayed the epitome of glory and beauty. Encouraged by the gopis, Radha stayed in the center of the circle with Krishna. Standing like a picture, Radhika bathed in bliss as she watched the dancing expertise of the other gopis. So there wasn't any jealousy, even though the other gopis were dancing. All those gopis expand from Radharani so that Krishna can enjoy all the more. And they're the Kaya Vyuha, their full form expansion, just like Krishna's expansion. So the gopis are expanded from Radharani, various. So one Radharani is, without Radharani, there's no question of Rasa Lila, but on the other hand, just to enhance it unlimitedly, then there's so many gopis, so many unlimited gopis. Just see how expert Yogamaya is. Feeling they had become too spread out, the gopis gathered together again. As poetry may have the fault of looseness, the gopis placed their arms around each other's shoulders in order to close up the gap between them. Then Krishna, the king of pleasure, left the center of the circle and quickly entered between each pair of gopis. Releasing their locked arms, Krishna placed his arms on the gopis' shoulders and danced with them, displaying fascinating poses. Coming between the pairs of the gopis, Krishna first faced them and then hid behind their backs. He held their necks between his arms and moved about. By this, the rasa circle took on a spectacular appearance, like a firebrand twirling about, straight, then reversed, then zigzagging in motion. Krishna's attractive dancing movements filled the gopis with desire to associate with him. Turning full speed, putting his arms on the left and right shoulder of two gopis, Krishna simultaneously embraced both of them, making a space between the two gopis whom he had just embraced. Krishna quickly moved behind them, then taking his hand away from them, using the shoulder and the other. He circled around again to face them. In this way, the fun-filled rasa dance continued, moving in a zigzag motion. Krishna rapidly and skillfully went around to embrace each gopi from front and back. Krishna's artistic dance of love filled his dearest gopi with all the others, and all the others with ecstatic joy. Okay, so that's a little taste.
Who translated that?
What?
Who's the translator?
Bhanu Swami and Subhag Swami. Combined efforts. So, today's also Narottam Das. I think he sang like a couple of songs of Narottam Das just before ecstatic. And so, I mean, we could go over some others, but it's pretty much time winding down. Any commentals?
You said their gopis' hearts were struck by Cupid, but I assume we're just talking metaphorically, because Cupid...
Oh, you said the demigods' wives weren't struck with Cupid.
Well, you actually said that the gopis were...
They said in the book, right? This book just read that? I just read it?
No, it was at the beginning of the class.
Well, Cupid, Kandapa, Koti, Kamaniya, Rishesha, sometimes the shorthand version is Cupid, but actually he's Kandapa, Koti. He's like millions of Cupids, according to Brahmasami. Kandapa, Koti, Kamaniya, Rishesha, Shobham, Govindamari, Purusham, Tamaham. Millions of Cupids are nothing. Yeah. Syncopate. syncopated rhythmia, I looked up syncopated, it says in music it's modifying the rhythm by stressing or accenting a weaker beat. So instead of the accent on the strong beat, it's accent on the weak beat. So,
yeah. To counter beat or something. Hey, I don't know anything about music, but we have some people around who know some. Dasarath will come over and chastise us from the back of the farm. Anything else?
When my calendar didn't say anything about a rasa, did you mean lightning?
What's that?
On my calendar, when I looked, it didn't mention.
They told me, and I saw it on the calendar.
It says Krishna, but when we get the falls.
It's another synonym.
It wasn't on my calendar. I only know when I looked at my calendar. It said Narada, but it didn't mention. So thank you. Who knew?
Who knew? Krishna didn't even know. Lord Chaitanya didn't know that kid could chant a sloka like that. Well, that's what makes it relishable. If we think that everything's just known and there's no sense in doing anything, then there's no lila. It's all impersonal.
What is
champu? What I understood, I explained that the champu is a very elevated form of poetry combined with prose, and that the specific understanding, I think that's explained in one of the books, the specific thing is that one is so expert, he has to be able to, each sloka would have multiple meanings in the champu, especially. But that can't necessarily come across in English, unfortunately. You mean, not only you have to know Sanskrit, but you have to be expert in poetics too. If it's explained, but when Jiva Goswami explains certain things, Jiva Goswami explains that Rupa Goswami's shlokas are like mansions, ecstatic mansions in the spiritual world, where you enter into them, each verse. So, you know, we think of a mansion with many, many rooms in it, you can go over here. And then it was also Chaitanya Charan last year when he mentioned how he came here, how the Rasa Lila is like a mansion. But then you find, and sometimes, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti, one of the acharyas, gave that nice example that within that great mansion, you may find in a room maybe a small door, and you enter into it and say, what's in this small door? And then you opens up into another whole mansion. So that's a comparison to when great devotees write their commentaries, which are only based on, you know, three or four chapters from the Bhagavatam 10th canto, but they write whole books, based on it. Yeah. Anything else? Okay.